Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dottillo, along with the legendary Herb Tyler.
Legendary.
He told me he'd give me a dollar every time I say that legendary. So I got $1 already, and we work on maybe getting two or three before it's over with.
That's right.
We'll be here until 4:45 this afternoon, and we want to thank MAP Construction, our presenting sponsor here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Herb and I are at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got a great crowd here already. Had a super lunch crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Luke and I trying to get in. Man, they had a lot of folks that came in here, and so it repacked back again. So great food specials, drink specials here. If you want to watch the games, 16 surround sound TVs, and so you can watch the game. Also, if you go into the football game, relax, get something to eat and drink, and also maybe watch the end of a couple games that we are watching so far. And Herb, and Tulane, South Florida, is they played competitive with Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
They were down 7-6 at the end of the third quarter. Now, Alabama scored 28 points in the fourth quarter. Man, Tulane took it to them, 45-10 today. So congratulations to John Sumrall and the Tulane Green Wave with a big win, 45-10. That point spread opened at 6, went all the way down to 4. And Tulane won 45-10.
Wow.
Today.
Talking about covering,
man,
huh?
And the first half, they had 31 points on the board and quick. Basically, every time they touched the football, they were putting points on the board. So, again, yep. Great all-around effort for the Green Wave. And then something, man, sometimes you peeking ahead of time.
That's right.
And Kentucky Ole Miss. And Ole Miss may have peaked a little bit ahead of time, so to speak, looking ahead to what's coming up in 2 weeks.
Yep.
17-13 with about 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I think Ole Miss just got a big stop. Kentucky on a fourth down play trying to convert.
Yep.
Didn't get it. So it's 17-13. Ole Miss was a 17.5-point favorite in that game, Herb. So, man, but again, if you don't come with your A game
every week,
you're going to get beat. Or you being one of these nail biters. I think that was a third down play, actually. And look, Kentucky has hit a big play.
They did.
And he's
trying to get an end zone. Nope.
And so we'll keep you up to breast that. But 17-13, Ole Miss over Kentucky with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
One thing about that is you can't, in the SEC, you can't take anybody lightly. I don't care who they are. Kentucky played Georgia really great a week ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. But, you know, Georgia's supposed to blow everybody out with every game, right? Even they know, even if you ask Nick Saban, what's the most difficult thing about college football or college sports in general, he's going to say, can you get these guys up week in and week out to be able to play at the level that they know they can play at? That's the most difficult thing that you can do in this entire deal.
Yeah, and again, it's human nature.
Yep.
To sort of look ahead and you think, well, we got this game, you know, but, you know, and sometimes you don't. And that's how you get caught in that.
Right.
It happened in Notre Dame.
Yes.
In that situation a few weeks back, we had just finished and we sort of watched the game-winning kick get, you know, Northern Iowa gets that particular deal. But then, man, Notre Dame has a shot at a long field goal. It gets blocked. And you got to bring your A game, and it'll be interesting tonight. Notre Dame plays Louisville. And Louisville, man, they beat the stew out of them last year.
Well,
and so Notre Dame's looking for a little bit of payback against Louisville.
And Notre Dame's trying to kind of, if you will, get back on track, right? You know, they're supposed to be one of the better teams in the country, but, you know, they're not playing up to their capabilities. But I will say this, too. You know, I wouldn't count Notre Dame out. They got some good athletes, really good coaching. And
especially on defense.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to count them out. I'll say that.
Talk about a comeback. Kansas State got caught last week. But, man, 42-13 with about 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, Kansas State, and we saw that Wildcat team make a run at it. And Tulane thought they had them for a while, but it sort of got away.
Yeah.
getting back to LSU, South Alabama, LSU's playing a team. The last two games they played, they scored 87 points against Northwestern State. Bobby don't want me to say that. that's his old team. They scored 87 points. And then I think the most impressive game, you go on the road and you beat Appalachian State 48 yep.
to 14.
Man, Appalachian State is a good football team. You tan that backside every which way but loose. And now Major Applewhite, who from Baton Rouge, grew up basically kind of in the shadows of Tiger Stadium, talked about all the games he had witnessed and watched at Tiger Stadium throughout his youth. Goes to the University of Texas, and then he's been on a coaching, you know, when you're in the coaching ranks a lot of times, I know Coach O used to always tell me that, Mike, you're like an Army brat.
That's right.
You go where they tell you to go, or go where there's a job.
You show up.
And so now Major brings his team into Tiger Stadium, 2-1 record. They lost the opener to Ohio 27-20, but their offense has really played well in the two games that they've played after that. So, Herb, for LSU, you can't be looking ahead either.
No, you can't look ahead. I don't care who it is for LSU, but especially for South Alabama. I mean, you got Gio Lopez, who ran for 105 yards last week and a touchdown, and then Botwell, who ran for 116 and two touchdowns.
Fluff.
Last year.
So,
well,
how
fluff,
about that?
That's right. That's,
fluff.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to call him Fluff. He's a little tougher than Fluff. As a unit, they ran for 320 yards in that game against Appalachian State. The one thing that we have to do is play solid, sound football against this team. They're going to try to throw the ball at least 25 to 30 times a game, and they're going to rush the ball at least 40 to 50 times. They're going to get as many rushes as they can. So we have to play point-of-attack football. We have to be really solid at the attack, make tackles, and keep the guys in front of us.
I know, and speaking to Drew DeArmond, we'll have him on a little bit later in our broadcast for our Inside the Tiger Den segment. He had told me that there's some question marks certainly on the defensive side of the football. They haven't played anybody.
Yeah.
Like he said, with LSU's talent offensively, this could be, for a half, a bit of a shootout. So LSU got to come to play defensively. They have not pieced together four quarters of really good play.
No.
Now, last week, okay, you 17-17 at the half against a UCLA team that, to be honest, I didn't think was very good. And then you were able to shut them out in the second half. But, you got to understand that SEC play is coming and quickly in a couple weeks.
Well,
and so you better shore up what you got defensively, and you'll have to do it without Harold Perkins.
You have to do it without Harold. I was going to say that. But here's the thing is, so now they don't have the game plan around Harold. Now they just game plan, right? To whoever the offense that you're playing against, to their strengths, and make sure that we're able to get in front of them, cause havoc, you know, create turnovers, things of that nature. Now, you know, we go back to last week with LSU UCLA. It was a different game, right? 2:30 start, 475 degrees outside. I mean, half the stands was passed out by the end of the first quarter, and so, again, this goes back to you can't take anybody lightly, regardless of who they are. You know, Deshaun Foster is a really good coach. He was coming into LSU, into Tiger Stadium, with a team that he knew, you know, was probably not going to be up to par. But what he did, he had those guys ready to play. They were ready to play in that first half, and it showed. But at the end of the day, you have to be able, if you're going to be a good team, you have to be able to grind out wins like that. You turn around and you say it was 17-17 by half or whatever it was. Well, the end of the game was 34-17. So defense showed up in the second half. Offense continued to score points. That's what you want. It's how you finish the game. It's not so much how you start. And I will say this. That was coming off of a South Carolina victory. That was one of the most victories, best victories we're going to see ever in Tiger history. I mean, it was a 17-18-point deficit that they came back for on the road and was able to pull that game out. So you got to really give this team some kudos for the grind and the grit and the heart and the passion that they play with. It may not look pretty. It may look, you know, unorthodox or unlike what we want it to look like. But at the end of the day, the results are there. 3-1 with an opportunity today to go 4-1. And against a really good offensive team, which you're going to get some really good defensive work here, especially with Harold Perkins being out, and then going to Ole Miss in 2 weeks, I think this is a really great startup game for them.
I think, too, is now Braden Swenson has taken full advantage of a situation here. This is a big season for him. He was looking forward to him. We understand his pass rush skills. Teams were scheming a little bit to take Harold out. It gave him a lot of one-on-ones. Now, if I'm playing against Braden now, my thing is I got more than a hat on him. I got somebody chipping him. It'd be interesting to see how well he adjusts. Pete Jenkins would always tell me this, Mike. It's how they say that, sight adjustment?
Yeah,
it's play adjustment now.
That's right.
For Braden Swenson.
So, look, Swenson right now has got 9 solo tackles, 7 assist tackles, and 5 sacks. I mean, when was the last time we had an LSU defensive lineman or defensive player, period, have 5 sacks in 4 games or 5 games of the season?
You got to go back to Arden Key.
That's right.
Early in his career.
That's right. And then let's go ahead and piggyback and keep on going. We're talking about Savion Jones right now.
Yep.
So Savion's got 11 tackles, 5 assist tackles, and he's got 4 sacks. So, look, it's been a while since we've seen some LSU defensive linemen or defensive ends that are kind of commanding some attention. And these guys are doing it right now. We need to keep this work up. It's going to be exciting to see how they end up this year, sack total-wise.
And we will keep in kind of close tabs with 2 minutes and 25 seconds left in the game. Kentucky has taken the lead over Ole Miss 20-17.
Take it home, Kentucky.
Man, they hit a big chunk play downfield. They were able to grind it in for a touchdown. So with 2:25 left in the game, last time I saw, it's Kentucky 20, Ole Miss 17.
That's right.
Ole Miss has the football. Let's see if Jackson Dart can have that moment.
He can do it now. He's got
the talent. Come on, you were a quarterback before. Isn't this what you play for?
Kinda,
moments
sorta.
Like this?
Not necessarily. You want to be
on.
Up by 40. At
oh,
point.
Yeah, well, everybody want to be up by
40. And the stats padded and all this other stuff. But no, the competition or the competitor in you, this is the type of game that you don't really live for, but this is the type of game that builds your character. Let's call it that. And then and for me, what I really like is being in control. So I like to be up by 2 touchdowns or 10 points or whatever with 2 minutes left, and we got the ball going in, right? That's 2 different things. Now, when it comes to adversity, that's why you play the game, because every play is you never know what's going to happen. So you got to always look forward to the next play. So with the type of offense that Jackson Dart is in, I would look for this. The offense I was in at the time was, you turn around and hand it off to Kevin, or you play fake and you throw a bootleg to Nicky Savoy or Dave LaFleur or something like that. That's different. But with this offense, I'm looking forward to trying to get the ball down the field, and coming up with some points to be able to win this game.
Yeah, because they do have some playmakers, and
we'll
tell you all about that as the show goes on.
Yes.
That's our first part of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettey, along with Herb Tyler, we're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. And again, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We'll be back with more Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettey along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge on Perkins Road, 3535 Perkins Road. Want to present our presenting sponsor. Want to thank them also, Map Construction. Herb, we talked a little bit about Braden Swenson and what he's meant to this football team. But over the last couple of weeks, I know on pregame show, we started talking about Aaron Anderson, but for the South Carolina game. And for the last couple games, Aaron Anderson has really come through for this football team. We both knew he was a very talented wide receiver. Yep. When they put him in the slot, his ability to run after the catch was outstanding. And so we've seen Garrett Nussmeier really target him because now there's rotation coverage on Kyron Lacy. You can see where teams are trying to take him out a little bit. Somebody else got to step up. Well, Aaron Anderson has been able to do that.
Aaron Anderson is your leading receiver right now in reception and yards. He's got 21 receptions, 298 yards receiving, and as long as 46, he's got one touchdown. One of the guys that's been consistent over the past two, three games
has
been Aaron Anderson, and he's getting better and better every game. And there's one person in this world that's smiling right now, and that's Nick Saban. He's like, man, I knew this guy was a hell of a player, and it's starting to come to fruition. And you look, at the end of the day, I'm an Edna Carr graduate, not high school, but middle school, if you will, junior high. So I'm an alum of Edna Carr, and I'm proud to see this young man play the way that he's playing. And I've been rooting for him ever since the documentary that they have. And I'm like, man, this guy, you know, I just can't wait to see him excel. And he's doing it right now. And he's with one of the best coaches in the country right now, in Coach Hankton, who's also from New Orleans as well. You know, he takes a lot of pride in coaching these guys up. So it's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, and now hopefully, I don't know how much we'll see of him today, but Chris Hilton coming back from the injury. Chris was a guy they were counting on, and I know at the Manning Passing Academy, I got to spend some time with Garrett Nussmeier, and he brought up to me that was a guy that he thought made great improvement in the spring and the summer, was Chris Hilton, and being a more consistent receiver. And I said he could get open, but sometimes he didn't catch the ball. He said, well, that's what he's worked on, catching the ball cleaner, out front with his arms and hands. And, man, he's been a guy that I think they really, really have missed the first couple weeks of the season.
Yes, I think he's a game changer. I think he's a guy who was ready to take the next step to the next level in his collegiate football career as a receiver. And, you know, sometimes the timing is not there. And sometimes the timing is correct, right? Maybe him being out right now allows for other guys like your Aaron Andersons, you know, like your Daniels, guys like that to flourish into who they're going to be. And then when Chris comes back, maybe he comes back right at the right time, and we may get on a hot run going at the tail end of the season, going into the playoffs or something like that, to where it's really needed at that point. So it's exciting to know that Chris will be coming back, and then how do we utilize him and insert him into the game plan with the remaining, you know, with the other receivers and things.
This was a couple years back. He was one of the receivers that came to Manning. And I remember Anthony Richardson tell me, man, I don't know who he plays for, but he's the only guy I can't overthrow.
That's right.
You know, because one thing with Anthony, he kind of hit and miss as far from an accuracy standpoint, but, man, could he chunk it downfield, and one of the guys he couldn't actually overthrow.
He might overthrow a 5-yard out route, but he ain't going to overthrow an 80-yard bomb,
man,
right?
Chris run under it really, really well.
Yes.
We'll be back. In fact, he's actually here. He heard all about the food, drink specials here at Acme Oyster House.
He had to make a trip.
To make the trip inside our Tiger Den segment. Jeff Palermo will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. I'd like to tell you, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Jason and the crew will take real good care of you here at Acme. And, we just saw it, Herb, at the end of the game. You talk about a big upset.
That's
in Oxford, Kentucky. Beats Ole Miss 20-17. Ole Miss had an opportunity late in the game to kick a field goal to put it in overtime. Missed field goal.
I love it. Man. Go Cats, baby.
Almost,
go Cats.
Man, it's almost like Herb got money on the game.
That's right.
I'm not going to say if he did or he didn't. But if he did, man, he hit this one a big time.
17, I like it.
17.5 point favorite Ole Miss.
That's it.
In their backyard in Kentucky, who had, man, they got thrashed by South Carolina. They play a really tough game, a good game against Georgia.
Yep.
They
yep.
got caught late. Again, talent caught you late in the game. Ole Miss never could kind of flip the switch and had an opportunity to kind of seal the deal. The defense gives up a big play. But what a big win for the Kentucky Wildcat program as they pull the upset in Oxford 20-17.
That's right.
Over
Go Cats, baby.
Ole Miss.
I do not like Ole Miss as much as I like the uniform,
you can
but
tell,
I'm not an Ole Miss fan.
You can tell, Herb, that he's a little sensitive about that Ole Miss.
And look, I like Lane Kiffin, too. I like him as a coach. I get it. But Ole Miss, no, man. I'm
Now it's time for our Inside the Tiger Den segment. Is brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. We have with us in-house, so
in-house.
To speak. Came in. Man, he heard about all them food and drink specials.
He smelled the food.
Yeah, he sniffed that out. Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Appreciate you stopping on by. First of all, before we talk about LSU, South Alabama, your reaction to Ole Miss, Kentucky.
I'm stunned. I am absolutely stunned. And I was thinking Ole Miss would be undefeated coming into Tiger Stadium 2 weeks from now. But this is what when you look at their schedule coming into this game, playing Furman, Georgia Southern, and I know they had a game against Wake Forest, but that's the risk you take when you start playing all these powder puffs early on, and then when you finally get tested, how do you overcome that? Like, for instance, LSU, they got tested against USC.
Yep. Twice.
Two weeks later against South Carolina. Okay, they've already been in this pressure-packed situation. They were able to prevail. And this is my argument on why playing a tough team in the season opener benefits your team, because it makes you better the next time you're in that situation. This is Ole Miss has been just – they've been calling their score. They've been playing – you know, junior high teams here so far this season. And now they finally get tested. And for Kentucky, I think this has got to be the biggest win of the Mark Stoops era, right? I don't recall them ever beating a top 10 team before.
I don't, but it looks good on paper right now, baby. I like it.
Man, if I'm Mark, I'm going to say, you know, I know y'all paid me a little bit more money last year. I was going to A&M. Hey, let's take another look at that contract.
That's right.
But how about the improvement for Kentucky to play as bad as they did against South Carolina?
Exactly. 100%.
Nearly beating Georgia and then going on the road and beating Ole Miss.
And this
very impressive.
A stepping stone for the season to come for Kentucky, right?
Yeah, it could be. And now for Ole Miss, now with the 12-team playoff, at least you still got a shot, right? I mean, Ole Miss can still run the table, but this is a punch to the gut for Ole Miss fans.
Yes.
Jeff, I think all of us, we've been doing this long enough, understand that with certain teams, they progress throughout the year.
Right.
You see that improvement with them. And I think just the society we live in, it's an overreaction if you don't play well
in
a game. And then, this team is so bad, so bad. And then all of a sudden, it starts to make that turn. And they ain't going to have a lot of teams in college football at the end of the year that got that zero at the end.
No.
Not this year, for sure.
No, I mean, especially with whoever wins this Alabama-Georgia game tonight, the winner is probably going to suffer a loss somewhere down the road.
They will.
Somewhere down the road, they'll suffer a loss. The only team that might have zero at the end is Texas. Until they get to the SEC championship.
I was going to say that. They may have one there.
Until they get there.
Well, you just never know. And that's why I like what LSU's done so far. Like you said, it's the competition that they've played. And, you know, they could have very well beat USC in the first game of the season. They turn around and they play USC again, basically South Carolina.
Yeah, right.
In a hostile environment, they come out on top of that game. Every other game that they played was a difficult game
that
we thought they should have blown somebody out.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So you have to, you know, eke wins out, and you have to be consistent in churning every play after play after play, even when you make a bad play, turn around and make a good play, to be able to win against a UCLA 34-17.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Well, to me, that's impressive.
What did Ole Miss learn when they beat Furman 70 whatever it was to nothing?
They learned nothing.
They learned Furman was not the part, right?
You learned that Furman wasn't real good.
That's exactly it.
When you beat Georgia Southern 52-14, what are you learning? Nothing. And that's the thing, at least for Brian Kelly, after that first game, okay, I know exactly what's going on
here.
That's
right.
And they were able to start addressing it. And I think that's why you're starting to see so many more freshmen playing on this team, because they realize, okay, the guys that we decided to go this season with, let's bring in some freshmen here, because the guys that we have are – it's not going to cut it.
They're not cutting the mustard, as
yes.
they say. And I don't like mustard. I can tell you that right now. I'm not a mustard guy. Now I'm a honey mustard guy, but not like a mustard on the sandwich
Herb.
Guy. I'm a chicken wing with some honey mustard. I'm good with that.
You and I are going to have a long talk about this food segment part of the show that we do each and every week. One of the things we saw in – this team has played like in halves defensively.
Right.
Against USC, a really good first half, fourth quarter, a fall apart. Last week against UCLA, man, they were El Lazio in the first half.
They were.
And the second half, they played well. I want to see four quarters of consistent play defensively. I know one thing. That offense is going to score points.
Yep.
With Garrett in there and their ability to throw the football, they're going to put up points, but can you piece together four quarters of consistent football? I'm not talking about stopping them every time. That's just not the way football is built today. But show some consistency in your overall play.
Yeah, and I don't know how they get there, Mike. I really don't. I wonder if it's just part of the DNA of this team.
Man, I think you're right.
I just think it's an improved group over last year, because there are – the tackles behind the line of scrimmage. You're starting. UCLA. I don't know if they had any turnovers. Maybe one, right? But
they did. The interception.
Yeah, the intercept. That's right. The interception by Gilbert. But they seem a little bit more opportunistic. Than this group. And now let's see without Harold Perkins how that changes. I have questions on whether it's going to really be that much of a dramatic effect. I think it's going to be certainly an effect, but I don't know how big of a loss. But I just think, especially when you look at all the freshmen that they're getting out there now with Ahmad Bro and Deshaun Spears, and then who knows if Zy Alexander can play tonight. So that might mean, you're putting in some newer players out there. I just kind of wonder if this team is going to have signs where they can go out there and they can force a three and out, or they're going to give up a 75-yard drive or a 60-yard run. I think that's just kind of what this defense is.
I think that's what's going to happen. It's how many times do you give up the 70-yarder? How many three and outs do you force? It's going to be key. And I think when you look at it as a whole, we as fans and analysts, if you will, we want everything to be perfect.
Yes.
We want to go out there and score a touchdown every drive and do a three and out, and then that's it. You know, and you have, 300 first downs in the game and all this other stuff, whatever. But it just doesn't happen like that.
Right.
So what's the next best thing? The next best thing is, how do you may not be able to put four quarters together, but you at least need to be able to put together a solid game, because you're going to give stuff up.
Right,
you know, even Michael Jordan gave up 3 points every now and then, or he was dunked on or whatever. But it didn't matter what happened during the game. The only thing that matters is what was the final outcome.
Right.
And what I do like about this team is that they have found a way to grind things out, and they found a way to stay in the game and keep themselves there. Now, there's been times where we're like, oh, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, and it just didn't seem like football, but we ultimately know that. I think you're right. The DNA of this team is on defense is going to be, we're going to give up some points. We're going to we're going to stop them a few times, but ultimately I think they're going to come out on top, especially against your normal run-of-the-mill teams, right?
Especially in a game like tonight, I don't see how – I mean, I got LSU scoring 41 points tonight. I don't see how South Alabama can prevent LSU from not scoring five touchdowns.
Yeah. I think that's the – because we know they're going to put up points.
Yeah, right.
We know South Alabama will. With going back to Perkins, It's almost like the law firm of Weeks and Weeks, because if they go to the three linebacker set, it'll be the Weeks brothers that'll be in there along with Greg Penn.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll see a lot of that because you got a running quarterback. So I think you need to have the three linebackers out on the field. And I'm interested to see what it is. I understand what Brian Kelly is saying, that when he's out there, opposing offenses have to account for him. I thought in the South Carolina game, Kirk Herbstreit did a bunch of highlights showing how the protection would swing to his side when he was rushing and it would open up for somebody else. I get all that, but I also see a linebacker that struggles.
Yep.
Getting off blocks.
Yep.
In that South Carolina game, he misses a tackle on the first play from scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
It's not – I don't know. I don't want to say – I mean, overrated is a hard word. I don't want to say he's overrated, but I don't know if the hype is truly what it should be for Harold Perkins.
Well, I think, you know, when you go back and you look at his career, if you will, at LSU, this breakout year was his true freshman year, and no one knew who he was or what he could do.
Right.
The one thing LSU did great was just allow him to go be.
Yeah, right.
Ever since then, we've been trying to put him in a box.
Yep, right.
And we're trying to figure him out. We're trying to Rubik's cube him, right? Yeah. To me, that's not the way – that's not what you do. Now, when you were talking about Brian Kelly, we're talking about, well, when we – you know, when he's in the game, we have to – the opposing offenses have to call plays or have a game plan that's going to direct, you know, that I guess that he can dictate to them. I don't think that's the case. I think we're taking him out of the game plan,
yep.
so they don't have to do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They just run their plays.
Yeah.
All we're going to do is put him on the outside, and he's going to cover someone, which in my mind, he can be – because I think 1 week he graded as the best cover linebacker in the country.
Yeah.
But they never threw the ball his way. So what the hell does it matter?
No, how many plays are you grading?
what did you affect in the game, really, truly?
Yeah.
Guys, don't you think maybe this is an overreaction of because of how the season ended that year as a freshman? A&M was, what? We're going to run the ball right at him.
Right.
And A-Chan, who was what, maybe 80% in that game or 75%?
He had 600 yards rushing in
there. They're still trying to tackle him.
That's right.
I think from that moment on, there's been an overreaction to what he couldn't do.
Yeah, right.
To play the run.
Yeah.
And my thing is, I know what he can do well. He can rush the quarterback.
He
can be disruptive.
Yes.
Is he going to be good against the run? No. And, man, if I'm worried about the NFL, my thing is I want to win games in college.
Yes. Yeah.
Let the NFL worry about developing Harold's overall skills from one thing to the other. But I think that game, you've seen every coach sort of overreact to what he couldn't do.
Right, yeah. Do you think he's really a first-round pick? If before the injury, Mike.
No.
Yeah. Second-round pick. Third-round pick.
No, I had a discussion. Mel Kiper and I, we had talked about this, and I was like, Mel, you might fall in love with his athletic skills, but are you going to fall in love with his production?
So that's the key. He may or may not be a first-rounder or a third-rounder or whatever-rounder. There's going to be one scout, one GM.
Yeah.
That's going
there might
to love
be one
he,
team.
That
yeah.
loves
Maybe
what he
one
looks
team.
Like.
Right.
And you know, who knows? He may come back and he may just, again, light it up 1 year.
Yeah.
And
right.
that's it. But he has the potential thereof. The question is, where do you put him?
Yeah, right.
Is he a safety? Is he some kind of nickel rusher defender?
And now in the NFL, with all these hybrid schemes of how to use him, I know he. I think he's developed into being a good cover guy.
I think so. I think that's where one area where we'll certainly miss him.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Let me ask you this: so when we talk about his development to a good cover guy, have we seen him knock passes down? Catch intercepts.
There's no passes defense this year.
That's
right. The one interception against Missouri was a game-changing
game-changing
interception.
But he's almost glued to the guy. It's almost like he's
that's
got
right.
Velcro to whoever
right.
he's trying to cover.
And so I'm saying that to say, you know, there's going to be a GM that's going to watch that and say, you know what, this is our guy.
Yeah.
We're going to take him in the first round. You never know who it is.
Yeah.
Okay, he's not for everybody. He's
no.
going to be a fit player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A fit. For one particular team. And that's why you can't say he was a surefire first-round pick before the injury. You speculating on that. The production doesn't add to that particular deal. Is he a fit first-round pick for some teams?
Potentially.
Yes.
Yes.
That particular part, right. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Enjoy it.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
That was our Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you each and every week by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. Want to thank Jeff Palermo for stopping by here at Acme Oyster before he heads on out to LSU, South Alabama, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We'll be back right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finished up here on our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettea along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll be back right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.